Amen. You know the line that follows what I'm about to say. Say it out loud with me. He is not here. He is risen. Amen. And that's the reason why we're here. All the fuss and fanfare and all the work and the effort that goes into coming together in this way, what's it all about? It's not for us. It's not to entertain one another. We don't. It's because of Christ. And isn't it wonderful? I mean, it really is. It's incredible that we can know these things, that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know this truth. And we say we have such a great hope, even as we have been listening to this morning and singing with one another. We have this great hope. We serve a living God, a risen Savior, who defeated death for us, that we too could defeat death through Him and spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, a new heaven and a new earth. There is so much to be thankful for. And so today isn't just special because we get to remember the resurrection of our Savior. We do that every time we come together. But it's special because we're highlighting it. And it encourages us to go out here from this place today and to highlight it in our lives and to share this truth with others. So I appreciate all the work and the effort that goes into giving God glory and exalting Him. That's exactly what has been happening here today. So it's good to have you with us. If you're visiting, and there are some visitors here today, a special welcome to you. And we love having folks with us, and we hope that you come back. I want to start by sharing just a few prayer requests. You can be in prayer for us this afternoon. Don, Air, and Candy are having a service out at the Silver Fox Lodge, or nursing home, I guess it is. He takes care of that on Sundays. And he's asked me to come and do a little Easter communion service out there with the folks. So keep that in prayer if you would. And then also be in prayer for Guy and Sandra today. They're not with us, and we don't see them here. And a couple folks have asked me, and Sandra's had some heart issues there the last couple of days. I don't think anything serious, but she does have some tests. So keep her and Guy in your prayers. And then also Betty and Ross. So Ross is in the hospital, and he's in palliative care there. And his sister Mary passed away just last night, and we had been praying for her already. She hadn't been well. She was in palliative care. And so Betty just touched base with me this morning and asked that we would pray as she was going in to break that news with Ross. But I'll tell you, I was in there last week to see them. And look, pretty hard to walk in there with my Bible in my hand, sober and soft, when Ross is in there going, "Woo, I'm going home. I'm going home." So it kind of broke the ice for me, and we had a good time of fellowship. And it's hard, obviously, for obvious reasons. And, you know, keep Betty in your prayers and the family. But I'm so thankful. Ross knows the Lord, and he knows where he's going, and he knows where he's headed. He knows that moment when he's going to step over the threshold of heaven's door is getting closer. And his time of service and faithfulness is coming to an end, and he's going to his reward. We'll catch up, Christian, right? If you know Christ, we'll see him again soon. And so we have a great hope today. And it's Christ that has provided us with this hope. I say it all the time. I said it Friday at the Good Friday service. What a wonderful time we had together there, across town over to Emmanuel. And I'll say it again today. In life, there is death, but in Christ, there is life. And so we have this hope, and it's why we come together and we rejoice. We can distract ourselves out there with quite a few things. We can keep ourselves busy and entertained and pleasure-filled, but you know, after a while, even those things start to wear out. They don't do it anymore. And that's where we come to Christ and we realize He is all we need. The Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. And so I'm thankful for these wonderful truths today. Matthew chapter 28, please, if you would open your Bibles. Just for a few minutes this morning, and I'd like to end our time with some communion. As we leave today, I think it's fitting on Resurrection Sunday to break bread together. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we come to the end. But the Lord Jesus Christ ate with His disciples. He had desired to eat with them, to have that Last Supper with them. And He gave them some instructions to remember every time they came together to break bread and to fellowship, to remember what He did for them. We'll get to that. But first, we want to get to Matthew chapter 28. And we know already that our Lord and Savior has finished His ministry. He is healed. He has demonstrated that He is the Son of God over and over and over again, even as the Pharisees and the enemies of Christ railed against Him on the cross. They looked up at Him at one point and they said,
He saved others, but himself he cannot save. Acknowledging that he did save others. Acknowledging that they had witnessed the salvation the Lord Jesus Christ had brought. Acknowledging the miracles that they had witnessed him perform. And yet would not put their faith and trust in him. And aren't you thankful today that he did not come down from that cross? Well, he could have. He could have made a big show right there on the spot. He could have said, oh yeah, let me show you who I am. You don't believe me? You will when I'm done. But he didn't. He hung on that cross for you and for me because it was the only way that we could be reconciled back to God. The only way that we could be redeemed. The only way that we could be saved. And he brought us hope and salvation. So that's why we gather together, not just today. That's why we have hope. That's why we gather together as a church. That's why we pray. That's why we sing praises. That's why we share this with other people. We want them to have that same joy and hope that we have so that we don't go to bed at night thinking all is lost and, you know, the weeping will continue tomorrow. No, there is joy in the morning. There is hope in Christ. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 28 today, we remember the ministry that Christ had prior to the final work that he accomplished on the cross. I'm going to pray, ask for God's help, and then we're going to read a few of these verses. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time together this morning. We pray, Father, that you would speak to each of our hearts today. That in some way, whether as Christians, you would just remind us of the great gift of salvation, the great gift of grace that you have bestowed upon us. But Lord, even as we sit here in this church and listen to your word, Father, that we would just revel and marvel in our hearts at your love for us. You died for us. You shed your blood and died in our place. You, Lord Jesus, took our punishment upon your body. Father, you gave your only begotten Son. The cross was the altar. The sacrificial lamb was your Son, Jesus Christ. And the sins he died for was not his own, but for ours and for the sins of the whole world. Father, thank you today that when we believe this, that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior who died and rose again. When we repent, the Bible says, and turn from our sin and turn from our unbelief and we put our faith in Jesus, the Bible says that we are forgiven of all of our trespasses, all of our sins, and we are saved, born again, children of God, new creatures, and that you walk with us, you dwell within us, Father. The Spirit comes and seals us until the day of our redemption when we're with you. Oh, Lord, we have much to be thankful for today. God, I thank you for each one that's taken the time to be in your house. God, I pray that you would just inspire us. You would bless us for taking the time to be here. And Lord, allow us that personal and private praise within our hearts unto you and our Savior for what you've done. We ask for your help as we look at your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ has ministered. He has spent time with his disciples at the Last Supper. He had been betrayed in the garden. Judas came with the entourage. He was led away, bound. Incredible for me to think about that, that they tied up, they bound the hands of the omnipotent God. What good is that going to do? Apart from the fact that he allowed them to do that, that he willingly allowed them, that he allowed them to lead him because there was a purpose. They didn't take his life. He was unable. It wasn't as if Christ was unable to defend himself. But he willingly allowed himself to be led. He was the sacrificial lamb. And in obedience to the Father, he allowed himself to be the sacrificial lamb. And they slew him on the cross. And he shed his blood so that we could be forgiven and saved. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And so Christ did what no one else could do. I said this also Friday, and I'll say it again. You could take 10 million of the most noble and the greatest men that humanity has ever seen, and if every one of those men died, they could not save even one man. They couldn't resurrect even the littlest finger of that man. But Jesus Christ died for all, that all could be saved, resurrected, and live forever with him. This is what Christ accomplished on the cross. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is that sufficient. And 2,000 years later, isn't it amazing? You know, things tend to peter off. They kind of die out after a while. Fads and phases. Seasons come and seasons go. Especially when things get hard, right? 2,000 years of persecution. 2,000 years of the blood of the saints soaking the grounds all over the world. 2,000 years of suffering and of criticisms and mockery. And yet, we still are following the Lord Jesus Christ. He still has his followers. He's still doing his mighty work. It's because it's all true. It's because the Lord is the Son of God, and he's coming back. As we take a look here this morning at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28, I love this, because it was dark just moments ago, but now the sun is beginning to rise. And we see at the tomb, not sadness, but first a little bit of confusion, and then we see joy and wonder. Look at this. It says in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. These ladies were coming to finish the preparation of the body. They hadn't been able to do that. The Sabbath was getting close and they had to finish. And the body of Christ had to be laid in the tomb. But now it is Sunday, the first day of the week, and they are there early, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to honor the one whom they loved, the one who first loved them. And they came to know him and to follow him, and he showed them grace and mercy and love. And so here they are just honoring the body, so they think, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine yourself being there. So excited. Nope, not at this point. Discouraged. They showed up at the tomb with a broken heart. They showed up at the tomb with sadness, with grief. Likely their cheeks were wet with tears as they talked about Christ, as they reminisced over what happened on the cross, as they reminisced about the experiences that they had and the confusion that they were met with, what is going on. And yet when they arrived at the tomb, all of that dissipated in the truth that the sun had risen. And it's such an incredible scene here. These ladies are coming to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor his body with perfumes and ointments, and instead they are met with the truth that he has risen from the dead. Verse 2, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You know, earthquakes are not the norm, but there have been a few of them in scriptures. You can read about them here and there. There's another one that's coming someday. According to the book of Revelation, we're studying through that in our Sunday school. It's going to be a little while yet before we get to that earthquake in our study, but there's more ahead. But the earth has shaken. An angel has come down. And I don't think angels have an attitude per se, but they certainly have a personality. I don't know. It just strikes me funny that this angel's sitting on the stone. He could have been standing beside it, you know, all dignified like an angel you would think would be. But no, he's up there sitting on the stone, kind of waiting for these ladies to come. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I love the fact that the angels who have declared the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ now get to declare the resurrection and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they get to be a part of that. And so here he is sitting upon the stone. And we're just looking at Matthew's detailed portion of this story or this account. But it says in verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Riveting experience as these ladies showed up to the garden tomb and are met by this angel in an empty tomb. By the way, the stone was not rolled away so Christ could escape. It was rolled away to show that he was no longer in the tomb, so that they could go in and see for themselves. He is not here. He is risen. By the way, I was in that tomb, from what we understand, over there in Jerusalem, and I saw it for myself, still empty. He's not there. He is risen. And so they see this angel, and the raiment is shining white like lightning, and as snow, it says in verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. These guys are out of their league. Girding, can you imagine? Girding the tomb of God. What are you going to do? You know, he is resurrected from the dead. And these guys are out of their league. It says, for fear the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And as we all quoted, he is not here, for he is risen. And it must have taken them a few moments to sort of understand and comprehend what was happening. There is the stone was rolled away. They had no idea how they were going to deal with that when they arrived, but they arrive at the garden tomb and the stone has been rolled away and there is an angel. And he tells them, you're looking for Christ. I know why you're here, but he's not here. He's risen, just as he said he would. He is alive. And now the sadness and the grief turns to fear and confusion and then into joy as they realize that their Savior has defeated death. And we get to follow along in that scene. I jotted down, a risen Savior is the foundation of our faith. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive. He defeated death. And through Him, you and I will do the very same by His strength and by His power. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Are you going to follow Him? The Bible says if you put your faith in Him, someday you will defeat death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We'll go to be with Christ. And then our bodies, when the second coming happens, will resurrect and we'll have brand new bodies. And we'll dwell with the Lord forever in these new bodies. He is not here, the angel said, for He is risen. And as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know, he said, come and see for yourselves. This wasn't a matter of just take my word for it. You don't need to see the evidence. He said, no, come and see for yourselves. We have the eyewitnesses that this was absolutely true. This biblical and historical account is filled with eyewitnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have some instructions given by the angel. But what I love is these instructions. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. Just three things before we move on quickly. The angel says, go quickly. Go. Don't linger here. You got things to do. You need to share this with other people. Go quickly. Tell others that he is what? He's alive. He is risen. This is the impossible that has happened. And go and tell others that the Savior is alive. And then finally it says, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. In other words, follow him. Go after him. And that's the same instruction that we receive today. Go. Don't linger. Don't hold on to this truth. You know, we hide God's word in our heart, but we don't keep it to ourselves. We hide it in our heart so that we don't sin against him and so that we can share it with others. We want others to know this truth. There is so much brokenness, so much discouragement in our world, so much hopelessness. And this is the hope that people need. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, hope of a new life in him, hope of his help, hope of his provision, of his comfort in our lives today. We don't have to wait, by the way, until we go to heaven to have his strength and help. Isn't that good? You know, he could have made us wait. Said, yeah, you'll see me someday, and until then, good luck. That would have been enough. Okay, well, you saved me from hell. What can I complain about? And yet, he is with us every day. He dwells with us. He wants us to sup with him, to fellowship with him, and he with us. So the angel tells them, go, tell others he is risen, follow him, go after him. And we have those same instructions today. By the way, it would have been enough if they had have said, he is not here, he is risen, and is in heaven. Well, they would have rejoiced. Okay, great. Good to know. Okay, praise the Lord. We'll reunite with him. But that wasn't, he's going there. He'll ascend there. But first, he's in Galilee. Go and see him. How excited would you have been to say, well, I can see him today. I can be with him today. I can have that relationship with him right now. Yes. And you know, that's the same for you and I. You know, today, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, whether on line or here in this church, and if you've never committed your life to Christ, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you need to. The Bible says you're lost. We all are at some point. I was. If you're a Christian today, you were. But it's this truth and our faith in Christ and his grace that has saved us. And we can have that relationship right now, starting today. And I love that. Verse 8, and they departed quickly. You better believe it. They were probably kicking off their sandals, trying to get out of there fast enough to tell others what they had just heard and what they had witnessed. The tomb is empty. Christ is alive. He's in Galilee, and away they go. And again, this is Matthew's version. There's other details. You'll have to go to some of the other Gospels to fill in those blanks, but for time's sake, we'll just stick with Matthew. And so away they go. They depart quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and that's the way that we feel. Wow, is this true? It is. And so there's this awesome wonder and awe and fear over these things. And then there's this joy. I can know God. I'm going to spend eternity with him. I am forgiven by his grace. Jesus died for me. And he died for you that we could be saved, forgiven. They run with fear and joy. They bring the disciples' word, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And that expression, all hail, is such a general nicety. It's as if to say, hello. How you doing? Nice to see you. And as soon as they see Christ, you can imagine the emotion that would have poured out of them as they went. There is their Lord. There is their Master. The one who saved them. The one who they followed. The one who they witnessed. The miracles performed. The one who showed them great love and mercy. And he's alive. He bled and died on the cross. He gave up the ghost. They saw it. But as he said, here he is, 3 days later, alive. And so they come to his feet and they worship. They hold on to him. You can see their love, their adoration, their awe for this truth as they're, you're alive. You know, someday we're going to experience something similar to that. Not only when we fall before the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, but those who died in the faith, who Christ said he will save, we will reunite with them as well. And we will hold on to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in wonder over his resurrection and the resurrection of all of us. The power of God that we can be alive forevermore. Not just himself, but all of those who follow him. You and I here today, and the multitudes throughout history that have followed Christ or who put their faith in God and through Christ will someday walk with the Lord in white, as we read about this morning in Revelation. I love this. They worship him because he is Lord. I was challenged back a couple of months ago by somebody who said, you can't show me in the Bible anywhere where Jesus Christ is ever worshiped. It's not the only place, by the way. But you worship God, and that's exactly what's happening. And we don't see Jesus Christ saying, what are you doing? Stand up. Don't worship me. I'm just an angel. Or I'm nobody. No, he accepts that effectual worship, and he loves them for it, and they love him. They can't resist. Do you ever find yourself, like on a day like today, not being able to resist your love for him? Just wanting to just adore him and praise him and say, God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your help and comfort. Just quickly now, it says in verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Right? This would have been a little unsettling. Okay, I've never experienced this before. I saw you die. It wasn't very nice. You've been dead for a few days now, and yet here you are. He says, don't be afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Verse 11, now it says, now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. You know what that means? They were just honest. They were a little unsettled themselves. Well, you're not going to believe what happened today. We were there, and an angel, and an earthquake, and a stone. And I just passed out. I was so afraid. And you know, this is what happened. And they told them all the things that had taken place. This was the truth. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. This is a biblical payoff, by the way. It's when you want somebody to cover something up, you give them a lot of money. We understand that concept. It's not new. And this is exactly what's happening. Okay, they've told us the truth. What are we going to do about it? We don't want the truth. And that was the problem the whole time. You know, that's still the problem today. People don't want it. Why do you want to hear the truth? We want Jesus dead and in the tomb, they said. No, he's alive. He's the Son of God. And he provides eternal life for all of us. Why would you cover that? Why would you hide that? These soldiers are offered a large sum of money. I don't want whatever became of them, but they knew what happened. Says in verse 13, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him. Well, you slept, by the way. You tell everybody that. And here's a lot of money so that you'd be willing to do something so foolish. Well, we know what happened. The truth is that Christ resurrected. They knew the truth. They were just trying to cover it up and hide it. You know that's still going on today? 2,000 years later, the church is still alive and well, just as Jesus Christ said it would be. Many are following him. We're sharing our faith, and there's still enemies trying to cover up the truth. You throw enough money at people, maybe they won't look in the tomb and see that it's empty. You throw enough money at people, maybe they won't listen to the witnesses that say, no, I saw him. He's alive. No, he saved me. I'm telling you. I know him. He dwells within me. He's changed my life. And so it's nothing new, and yet we see the soldiers being paid off. Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. And their lies and conspiracy and manipulation only condemn them even further. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews today. Just quickly, verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. It's hard for them to believe. We know one fellow named Thomas that had a struggle with that. He said, until I see his hands and feet, I won't believe it. I want to touch the prints, his side. And Jesus arrived and he accommodated. Sure, here I am. Go ahead. You believe me now? And he did. Some didn't believe, they doubted, others worshipped, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Just as we close here this morning. Two things, I guess. Number one, if you know Christ today, if you're a born-again Christian, we revel in this truth. We marvel over it. We praise God for it. I would just encourage you to continue to do that. As you leave here today, enjoy that conversation. Enjoy that meditation in your mind as you think about the fact that you serve a risen Savior. Someday you will stand before the Lord. You'll have that privilege of holding onto His feet and weeping there and just enjoying His presence and thanking Him, personally thanking Christ for what He accomplished on the cross. If you're a Christian today, someday He's coming back for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I am coming again. I'm not leaving you there. And we know that very soon the trumpet will sound and the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And He's going to set up His kingdom, the Bible says, on this earth. And those that have trusted in Him will rule with Him for 1,000 years. You say, well, I can't believe that. I say, but it doesn't matter. It's still true. Whether or not we can comprehend it or understand it or believe it doesn't change the fact that it's true. It is true. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He can do the impossible. And He says that all those who believe in Him will be saved. If you're a Christian here today, let's share that truth with those around us. Be excited about salvation. Be excited about your faith in Christ and about His presence in your life and what He's doing in you and through you. And then someday you'll be with Him forever. And the church, the body of Christ forever. Secondly, if you're here today, and again, maybe you don't know Him. Maybe you've heard some of these things and it's Easter and it's kind of a religious thing and it feels nice to be a part of it and have a little spiritual dabbling once in a while. Oh, you're missing out on so much. It's so much more than that. It's not just optically looking in at some religious act and feeling good about it. It's about a personal relationship. Now, you can know Him. He will dwell in you. You will have a personal relationship with Christ and you'll experience that comfort and that presence that He brings as He helps us understand His Word, as He changes us to become more like Him. God doesn't want us to walk through this life without Him. We are created for His pleasure, and He's provided us a way to know Him. Lastly, the Bible says that he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, it's not good enough to opt out. It's not a good option to say, yeah, it sounds good, but it's not for me. Thank you anyway. We're condemned without Christ. The Bible says that without Christ, we will be separated forever. And some might like the idea of not having God around. I'm tired of God. I don't like God. I don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm glad that I won't have anything to do with Him forever. I'll be glad when I'm dead and I don't have to hear His name anymore. But to be separated from God for an eternity is not something that anyone will ever want to experience. And as I said the other day, nobody on planet Earth is experiencing that now. Even if you don't know Christ, even if you don't know God or even love God, you're living life in His presence, whether you know it or not. He's provided the sun and the blue sky and the rain and your families and your food and the breath in your bodies. And to live without God is to live without all of that. Without joy, without hope, without help, without the joy of breath and rest and peace and still exist. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what waits for those who don't have His salvation. That's why the Bible says He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to be saved. That's why He waits. That's why we wait for the Lord to come back, and that's why we're patient. If you don't know Christ today as your Lord and Savior, I'd encourage you to put your trust in Him today. The Bible says we need only to believe. We're sinners, and it's our sin that separates us from God when we confess that. And we confess that we believe that He died for us. We ask Him to forgive us and save us. The Bible says He will. and will be saved. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to jump through hoops to trick somebody into giving it to you. You simply need to believe and accept that gift of salvation. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And I hope that you know him today. The time has zipped by quickly, and I want to spend the last few minutes breaking bread together. So let me just pray, and then I'll give some further instructions here in these last few minutes. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what Christ accomplished for us. And Lord, as we see here in the garden, we don't see him in the tomb, dead and wrapped in those grave clothes. We see him alive and speaking and ministering and being worshiped and being adored and being praised. We see joy and we see hope. And we thank you so much, Father, that this is the truth. Thank you, Father, that when we turn from our sin, when we turn from our own ideas and our own hopes and our own gods and our own comforts and securities, and we decide instead to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, we believe that he died for us and rose again. The Bible says that we become your child, Father, that we become new creatures, born again spiritually, and we have eternal life, forgiven, redeemed. Thank you so much, Father, for what was accomplished that day. When Jesus Christ said it was finished, Lord, we know that he paid it in full. His crucifixion and resurrection is the receipt that the work has been done. There's nothing we need to do, only believe. Father, I pray that if there's even one person within the sound of my voice that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, that today, Lord, would be the day of their salvation, that they would simply call out, repent and be saved. Bless us now as we close and remembering Christ and what he's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just in these next couple of minutes, I'm going to ask if the men would come. They're going to distribute the bread and the wine by way of the little packet that they give out. And I'm going to read from Corinthians chapter 11. The first of every month, we break bread together. The Bible teaches us to do that as Christians. Once we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow him in believer's baptism. We're disciples of the Lord. We have instruction to gather together and to remember his death. And so Easter is certainly a good day to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we want to take a few minutes to do that. The body was broken. The blood was shed. And as I read here in 1 Corinthians, the men will distribute the cups. And let me just read as they do. It says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Imagine yourself ripping apart a loaf of bread this morning. That's not what we're going to do. But we get the picture, the image in our mind. And the picture is an image of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ being broken for you and for me. And on the cross it was. He says in verse 26, a little further down, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Likewise with the cup and the blood that was shed. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And the idea is that there was one that sat at the table, thank you, Larry, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. His name was Judas, and he was a betrayer. He did not have that relationship with the Lord. He did not believe in Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was hoping to get something out of it, but redemption, I guess, wasn't part of his goal. And he went out that evening and he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea is that if we're seated at the Lord's table, we need to, number one, make sure that we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a dangerous thing to pretend. Jesus Christ said to Judas, it would have been better if he had never been born. And so when we break bread, it's important that we recognize we're identifying with Christ. We're publicly saying that, yes, I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I acknowledge that his body was broken for me and my sins, that his blood was shed for my sins. The Bible says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I always like to take a moment before we break the bread and take the wine to examine ourselves. I think it's important that we take the Lord's communion and the Lord's table serious. And if you're not saved today, you need to be. Judas sat at that table as a betrayer without the faith that was necessary. The Bible also says that we examine ourselves to make sure that we're walking obediently with the Lord. If there's something in my life that ought not to be there, that I'm out of fellowship with God, and if I'm in communion with Christ, those two things don't fit together. And so it provides us with an opportunity here in this moment to confess, to say, Lord, I trusted you. I believe in you. You're my God and Savior. But there's sin in my life. Forgive me. I repent of it. I turn from it. The Bible says that when we do this, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be in a right relationship with God right now. And so just before we take the bread and the wine, let's take a moment to examine ourselves and just pray quietly to ourselves before we do. Please. I'm going to ask, way at the back of the church, Mr. Gary Wilson, would do the honors and ask the blessing on the bread here this morning. Please, sir. Amen. There's nothing magical about the bread. It's just bread. And what we're doing is we're remembering the body that was broken for us on the cross. And we're publicly declaring that we have received that sacrifice, that gift of salvation through the body that was broken. It says, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, this morning, I'm going to ask if Brother Larry, would you ask the blessing on the cup, please, before we partake? Thank you. Amen. The shedding of the blood, without it, there is no remission of sins, and the perfect sinless blood of Christ was shed for you and for me. It's what washes away our sins through faith when we believe this. And so, verse 25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we praise the Lord for salvation, for his resurrection, and as we close today, number 224, please. 224, when I survey the wondrous cross. Let's stand together and sing it joyfully unto the Lord as we leave here today. 224, first and the last verse of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, please. When I survey verse number two, actually, please. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Now verse 4.
Where the whole realm of nature lies, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul,
Church, God bless you. We just rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord, His salvation, the hope of this word, this truth this morning. It's good to be saved. Amen? It's good to know that you're saved, and so I praise God for that. Pastor Jim, would you please close us in a word of prayer this morning? Thank you, sir.
Father, we thank you so much this morning that we've been in your presence, and most of all, you've been in our presence, Lord, because your word goes forth. You accompany it by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for such love. We really can't comprehend the depth of your love, Lord, but we accept it and we thank you for it. And now we ask, Lord, that as we leave you today, that you would dismiss us with your blessings. Help us, Lord, to live for thee as you live for us. And we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name.
Amen. Amen.